Hey, this is Melissa, creator and founder of Femtrepreneur, and you're listening to Fem Radio. Don't forget to subscribe to the Fem Radio podcast wherever podcasts are found so that you can be notified when each episode goes live. Hey, Fem Radio, this is Melissa. Thank you again for tuning in to yet another episode of Fem Radio. This time, our guest is Bianca Reyes, which if you listened to last week's Talk Femme to Me, you'll recognize Bianca from our co-chat. She was a guest of mine back in January, I want to say, before COVID hit, and we were able to record this in person. But something to keep in mind, again, as with some of the, you know, most recent episodes, this information might not be completely up to date, so please be sure to stay tuned when Bianca's mentioning her website and her Instagram handle, Oh So Fashionably Late, for you to get the most information of what's going on in Bianca's life and with her blog. So from last week's episode, you'll know that we just chatted about some things, some controversial topics, some not so controversial topics, just giving our opinion on a lot of the you know, things that were going on in January with us. This episode is going to be more specific to her blog, Oh So Fashionably Late, and how she started it, what her journey's been so far, and how she manages her 9-to-5 with her blog as well, which I think is really important for all of you side hustlers who are trying to figure out what to do, how to navigate the waters of being a 9-to-5 and then a 5-to-9er. I myself do this, and I'm always learning and always trying to figure out easier ways to connect with all of you while also maintaining my sanity. And usually, as you know, these episodes go out on Mondays, and today this will probably be released on Thursday of this week. So again, bear with me. It's been a mental health catastrophe, but hopefully we'll be able to, or I should, you know, I'll be able to speak about that on this upcoming Monday's Talk Femme to Me if I choose to release that, because I'm going back and forth on whether or not I want to do a solo episode or release my episode that I did with Jen Panessa. So that should be coming up within the next month or so. And if you remember Jen from any of the stories I've told previously, she was actually my first manager when I jumped into the workforce after graduation. So that will be a fantastic episode, and I can't wait for you guys to listen to that one. But without further ado, here is Bianca Reyes yet again on Fem Radio to talk about blogging. And please, please, please rate, subscribe, share this podcast with your friends and family. Let's get people listening to this so that we can all get femmed. Hey, Fem Radio, we have a great episode for you today. One of my college colleagues is here, one of my peers, Bianca Reyes. Bianca, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's so good to finally get in to the studio and record, because we have been playing this game of how about this day? What about that day?
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. Both very busy ladies.
Yes. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where do you live? What do you do?
Okay. Born and raised in New York. Went to Manhattanville with you, obviously. Yes. I am currently working in legal marketing at a boutique IP firm. We spun out a much larger law firm just about 2.5 years ago. So I've been working at a startup from the beginning. So that keeps me busy. And if that doesn't keep me busy enough, being the only comms person over there, I have my blog, Oh So Fashionably Late.
Yes.
That's something that I started back when we were in college, actually. And back then it was like pretty basic. It was called See Bianca Blog. Mm-hmm. And it was mostly random stuff, political opinions, that kind of thing. And I kind of put it aside for a little bit. And life took over. I got busy with school and work and everything. And then just a few years ago, I kind of wanted to just pick it back up. I think I just realized that blogging and influencing was like becoming a thing again.
Yeah.
Or it was just starting out and I was the one who missed it. So I decided to revamp my blog. I switched over from WordPress to Squarespace, had a few people help me out, found some DIY web design courses, and I brought back to life my blog. And so now it's Oh So Fashionably Late. It is a lot of work. It's just, it's one of my passion projects. And so even though I'm always tired when I come home from my 9 to 5 and then I go straight to doing this, and it covers a lot of different things. And so I have to make sure I have my content that covers all those topics, whether it's like trying a new restaurant, writing a review, checking out the latest fitness studio in FIDEI, that kind of thing. So it's a lot.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy it.
It sounds like a lot. It sounds very taxing, but I feel like, you know, it's like that quote, you know, when you're doing something you love, it never really feels like work.
Right.
Right. Cliche, but sometimes it's true. So I want to sort of peel back a little bit and really talk about like how you sort of got here, right? Like what was your journey? What was your career trajectory? So did you sort of, you know, is the goal ultimately to be, you know, doing your blog and taking that, you know, larger than life than it is right now? Or do you like doing both? You know, do you like having your hands full and being in the 9 to 5 and also in the blog?
When I started out, I think that I thought I would be more on the PR side of communications. And I thought I would have this glamorous, like, fashion PR job. And somehow I ended up in the marketing department of a law firm. So it's definitely not as glamorous, but it pays the bills. One of these days, I would like to be one of those, like, cupcakes in cashmere or something navy where they're just these bloggers and influencers that have this really big following. They have their own clothing lines in Nordstrom and that kind of thing. And that is their sole income. I would like to be there one day. And it's definitely going to take a lot of work to get my name out there and build my following and all my content. And I know that. And so, yeah, that would be the end goal in a couple of years from now.
That's awesome. So at the firm you work at now, you know, I imagine being that like sole person, right? You're probably handling a lot, you know, so how did you prepare for that role given, you know, limited work experience at the time? You know, what are some things that you do to sort of like make sure you're staying ahead of the curve?
I think I just mentally prepared myself not to ever say no or, you know, I don't have time or I'm overwhelmed or this is too much work. And I never wanted to be that, you know, that typical millennial that says, you know, like, oh, I went to college, I shouldn't be doing this. And so I put my pride aside. I did anything and everything everyone asked me to do at the firm. And that included a lot of different comms related stuff. And it turned into other things that I still do now, continuing legal ed for the attorneys, that kind of thing. And I am grateful for that today because I took on so many different projects and I learned a lot of things that now I can go to another job and I have all of this different experience doing different things and it's introduced me to potentially something new. You know, maybe I want to go into HR. Maybe that's my next move.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So I feel like every time we talk, you're at like another event, you're always a part of something, you're literally involved in pretty much everything, but you're also a member of NY Women in Communications.
Yeah.
So why is it so important for you to network and be involved with broader mentorship opportunities?
I think it's important to never stop learning. And especially being where I'm at, I don't have, you know, the director of communications that I go to. And so that's kind of what I find in New York Women in Communications. I get to meet all these other women who have been in their career for like 20, 30 years now and learn so much from them. It helps me network with other people, whether they're bloggers or not. I think it's definitely good to just build your tribe and find your people who are going to be there for you and help you, mentor you, and just find a really solid group of girls and guys who you can rely on to have your back and give you advice and sort of steer you in the right direction.
Yeah. So speaking of advice, you know, what's some advice that you would give to others trying to break into the industry?
I would say that communications is a really broad field. You can go any direction with it. And I think that when you try, you know, public relations, marketing, social media, you kind of find your niche at some point and kind of hone in on that skill and get good at it. Take on different projects at work. I don't think I would have ever thought I was really into marketing unless I tried it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I thought I was going to be in PR, do, you know, pitches, all that kind of stuff. And I ended up doing more marketing and social media work.
Mm-hmm. That's so funny too, how like you have that part. And then of course with Oh So Fashionably Late, it almost goes like hand in hand, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, you're learning as you go for your day job, but then you're also being able to apply those skills as well to your side hustle, right? And your passion projects. So I think that's really, that's great to you. And what's some, you know, and I definitely want to, I think we're really going to dive deep into Oh So Fashionably Late, but I'd love to talk about advice you have for women who are trying to break into the blogosphere, you know, like that's really open-ended and it can be rather saturated if you don't find your niche, like you said.
When I first started blogging, I think I did it very blindly. I didn't know what I wanted to blog about. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what I felt passionate about. So that's why it was very random. And then when I did pick it back up, it's because I knew what I wanted to cover. And it was just a little bit of everything. It was fashion, beauty, lifestyle. And then I tried to do some research and you know, check out all the other bloggers that I follow. And, you know, I subscribe to their email list and things like that. And I was like, okay, now what can I do to separate myself from the crowd? Because I can just be another fashion blogger, but what's going to set me apart? Mm-hmm. So I looked at the blogs that I was following and I was like, okay, well, I think for somebody my age, I do dress a little more conservatively or just maybe really simple. And I've definitely gotten some feedback on social media like, oh, you dress so basic, but that's my style. And even like these fitness bloggers, I was like, okay, I'm not a fitness guru and I'm not in the greatest shape. I think I'm just an average person. And there's not that many bloggers that cover fitness that are just the average person. And so when I was reading like, you know, fitness class reviews from Sweats in the City, it's another blog that I follow. They're in great shape and they're avid gym goers and they go to all these fitness classes. So yeah, when you read a review from them, they might tell you that, you know, like, oh yeah, this class is super easy. It's great for working your core, blah, blah, blah. And then you go to the class and it was like, oh my God, that kicked my ass. Whereas I can come at it from a different angle. I'm just an average person and, you know, I can give my honest opinion.
Yeah.
So I guess those are my two things. It's find what you're passionate about and then find out what's going to set you apart from the crowd that's doing the same thing that you want to do.
Absolutely. So how'd you come up with the name Oh So Fashionably Late?
So two reasons. The big one, the obvious one, is that I'm always late. Everybody gives me shit for it. I know. I'm sorry. Never late for work, though. Ever.
And that's only when it counts. That's when it counts.
I can't help it. And I do own a watch, if anybody believes me. The second reason being that I feel like with fashion trends, I never want to wear anything that everyone else is wearing right now. So when everybody was wearing UGG boots, I waited a couple of years and, you know, that's when I started wearing them. Or the Gucci belts. Like, I'm not wearing them right now. Everybody is. So I'm just going to wait a few years until they go out of style.
Bianca, that was so 2014, girl.
Exactly. Running a little oh so fashionably late.
I love that.
It's just my life. It's my brand. I can't start showing up on time for stuff. Then, you know, it just wouldn't be on brand.
I think that's perfect. That's perfect. I think it really segues into like, you know, what are some cool things that like our listeners can learn and read about? I know you mentioned it, like you're going to get real honest feedback from you, right? You're going to be able to connect with those readers. You're going to be able to really grasp the concepts of, you know, telling it to them like it is and not really sugarcoating. You know, you're not giving reviews based on who's cutting you a check.
No. Definitely not. And I understand that it can be easy to do that. But I just try to be authentic because I find that that's what's really relatable. I could post about all these, you know, designer clothes and Michelin rated restaurants that I eat at all the time. But the average New Yorker does not go out to eat at per se every night.
Yeah, no.
And not everybody's walking around in designer clothes. If anything, Target is like
the as fancy as it gets.
The Kardashians made Target a thing. And so, you know, like, yeah, I'm going to post an outfit and I don't care if it's from Target. I feel like it's a little more relatable. Like, I want people to look at my post. Ooh, mm-hmm. I really like her skirt. Where did she get that? Oh, it's from Target. Yeah. Or, oh, it's from Amazon. I try to be as authentic as possible. Just because somebody's going to send me a designer top, like if I don't like it, I'm just not going to wear it and I'm not going to post about it.
Yeah. I think it's so funny when I look at bloggers or even just like Instagram pages where it's like, get the look for less, and then the look that's for less is still like $300. I'm like, oh, okay. Like,
that's ridiculous.
I guess that's the for less. Like, it's not $1,000, but it's still a couple hundred. Like, good to know.
There's nothing wrong with getting your Coach bag from Chinatown. There's nothing wrong with it.
It's been stamped here at Femme Radio. There's nothing wrong with that. So you started an internship program so you could get some help on your blog, which, you know, sort of piggybacks off a question that I have, which is like, how do you keep tabs of everything? Because even just right now with my podcast, like, it can get very overwhelming. It can, you know, bog you down. Sometimes it messes with your mental because there's so much that needs to be done. So tell us a little bit about like how you found interns and what really like was the deciding factor that prompted you to say, I think I need to delegate some responsibility here.
With handling a 9-to-5 and having your side gig, sometimes things overlap in the middle of the day and I just don't have time to do them when I'm at the office. Mm-hmm. And so what I decided was that there's just all these little tedious things that maybe if I just had somebody to help me with them, I wouldn't have to worry about it and I can focus more of my time on content. And so I said, okay, well, I don't have a budget to hire anyone officially. And so I said, okay, well, why don't I start an internship program? So I did. I posted on LinkedIn. I posted on Instagram that I was looking for interns for social media and research. Those were my two big things that I needed help with. Social media was just for engagement, somebody to just go on my accounts every day, like things, comment on things, mm-hmm. keep up with other followers and, you know, make sure I don't miss a comment, that kind of thing. Pinning things every day to make sure I keep my engagement up, increase my monthly viewers. And then I knew the research was really important because I started focusing on all these cosmetic product reviews and I wanted to make sure that whatever I was saying was true. I need to know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Most of the time I don't. That's why I need a research intern. And so my research intern now is phenomenal. She just goes and fact checks all these little things that I'm saying. Like, you know, if I said that watermelon extract is great for reducing inflammation in your skin, is that true? She goes and checks it, gives me the link to make sure that, you know.
Cite your sources.
Right. Yeah. Cite my sources.
That's great.
So she provides citations for all the things that I just pull out of thin air. So she's been really great. I definitely get to a point sometimes where it feels like managing people feels like more work than just doing it myself. And I definitely have gotten frustrated and, you know, things happen and people are difficult. And there's a reason that managers go for training before they go and like manage a department of people. But for the most part, it was definitely a great experience for me to learn how to manage people and teach.
Yeah.
And I also kept in mind that the more time that I put in now with these interns, the more I was going to get out of it later. And so I try to have really thorough trainings to show them how to, you know, use all these social media advertising tools, using Canva to create graphics, that kind of thing. And there were definitely some ups and downs. There were more ups than downs. There was a few issues with, you know, an intern or two who felt like it wasn't working out with their class schedule. Things were too busy. And so unfortunately they had to go their separate ways, but for the most part, I've had a solid group of like three.
That's awesome.
Who are now too busy for me. Class is back in action, but, it's been really fun.
That's great. So what's like the process once you do have an intern? Are there things that you have to report, obviously, because, you know, are they getting course credit, I imagine?
Yes. So the part of the internship program was that they're getting course credit because they're not getting paid. And that was the only way I was going to have somebody work for me is because I think that they should be getting something out of it if I can't pay them. And so they had a lot of paperwork from their colleges that mm-hmm. I had to fill out and, you know, give them weekly evaluations mm-hmm. and things like that, which were really good because these evaluations ask you really detailed questions about what kind of work they're actually doing.
Sure.
And, you know, of course, their professors want to know what they're learning. So Absolutely. That was actually great for me to realize, like, oh, I don't think I taught her anything this week. So
yeah,
that's
a
problem.
It really helps you understand, like, what you're even doing from, like, a management perspective and a business owner perspective. Did you feel at all, because there are people, especially from, like, an institution, right? Education, a lot of the professors are, you know, in my opinion, they can be older, maybe not so up to speed with what a blog is, with what a podcast is, right? So, like, are you getting anything from the admissions office that's like, there's no way this could possibly be, like, a legitimate internship?
For schools like NYU, where there's just, like, a ton of comms people, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. it wasn't an issue at all. That's, you know, sort of their main focus.
Yeah.
I don't actually know that for a fact, actually, so I'm not going to say that. But
they're more with it, I would say, probably, than...
Yeah, so it makes sense to see, like, you know, a blogging intern or a social media intern needed.
Sure.
And it's just the same thing. In my opinion, I feel like a blog is just the same thing as another internship. I'm asking you to promote me on social media, yeah. You know, using Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And it's the same thing as if you were working for, a big company. It's just
right.
in a different way.
Do you use any tools? Like, what are, you know, some applications to manage that team? Or was it, you know, strictly email? How did you task them with things?
So it was a lot of Google. I'm a huge Google person. So. And we were in contact via email mm-hmm. every other day, making sure that, you know, they know what they're supposed to do. Know what I expect of them. If they have any questions, I'm, you know, always made myself available to them. Google Calendar invites. If it's not on my calendar, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So I made sure that I, you know, got them in my calendar, and we had, like, weekly touch base meetings, that kind of thing, whether they were just, you know, groups
yeah.
or individually, make sure everybody's on the same page. I found the group meetings to be great because just out of nowhere, like, you know, two interns had the same idea and they ended up collaborating with each other.
Love it.
So they felt really, like, proud of this idea that they brought to me, and it was a big deal for them. So mostly email and calendar invites to make sure that we're communicating.
Yeah.
We used Google Drive. I made a special folder that had all the different learning materials that they needed. So it was lots of, like, screen
wow.
grabs and videos of things that I was doing to show them how to promote a post on Instagram, that
sure.
kind of thing, and how to use all of those features, how to use Canva.
That's great.
Yeah. So I tried my best to basically whatever I provided to them as learning materials were the same things that I found, the same
mm-hmm.
resources that I was using when I first started using all the different blogging tools and social media advertising.
Love it. That's great. So I ask this question to every guest that I have on the show. Who embodies the word femme to you? So I use that word to... you know, describe just the all-around trailblazer, that person who really is like a mentor to you, who helps you, you know, guide you on the way. It can be professional. It can be a celebrity, someone that you look up to, anything like that.
I'm going to say Kelly Catrone. She is and has been my idol for a pretty long time. I recently read her book, If You Have to Go Outside, If You Have to Cry, Go Outside. And it gives such a deep look into her life and how she ended up where she is today. It's very raw. It's like from the nasty details of her divorce, the humility of like being evicted from her apartment.
Oh my gosh.
It's just a powerful story of you know, how lots of women get to where they are today. I think there's definitely a lot of struggle that goes into it. And it's not always pretty. And so I think it's good to share those stories so, you know, not everybody feels like they're the only one going through it.
Yeah.
I have one of my girlfriends who is running her own clothing brand, and she's just kind of couch surfing through New York City right now. And so, yeah, it looks great. She's going to Fashion Week, and she's
yeah.
got all this stuff going on, always going out to different nightclubs. But, like, you know, she's kind of like – finding her way. Yeah. I'm sure it's definitely a financial struggle when you put all of your money into this, you know, this passion project that may or may not make you any money back. So I definitely commend her for that. And just everybody who's out there who is just trying to make their dreams work. Because it's not always easy.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, people who are graduating now have so much student loan debt that it's almost impossible to start everything. You know, when you get your first job, like, people are only making 30s, 40s, 50s at the most. And it's really hard.
It is. It is really, really difficult. So where can our listeners follow you and your journey?
I'm basically on every form of social media. So you can find me on Facebook and Instagram. It's Oh So Fashionably Late. That's one word. And my Twitter handle is at OSFLblog. I also use my personal Twitter account, and that's going to be at Bianca_718. And I'm even on Tumblr. Not that it's a big deal as it used to be, but I'm a Tumblr girl. So I'm there. Same thing. It's Oh So Fashionably Late.
Any last pieces of advice regarding career and things like that?
This has been coming up a lot lately for me. It's sort of a recurring theme of 2020. And I've been told this before. I never truly understood what it meant until I made the mistake a few times. Don't ever settle for anything less than you deserve. This goes for everything. It's just every aspect in your life should be meaningful enough to make you happy, whether it's your job, your apartment, within financial reason. Don't go out and get that penthouse in Times Square if you can't afford it. But just relationships, romantic or friendships, everything. It's just please, please, please evaluate your ROI on all of the investments you make in relationships. Your return on investments needs to be worth it. You're investing all your time and your energy into this friendship or relationship or whatever it may be, and it needs to make you happy at the end of the day. Yeah, that would definitely be my big piece of advice.
Do you know any trailblazing females that you think we should be featuring? Send us an email at femmete@gmail.com. That's femmete@gmail.com. As always, thank you for your support as we strive to promote the growth of diverse women in all industries. #GetFemmed.